Hi, this is Shirley Gutkowski at CrossLink Radio. Thank you for joining me again, and thank you for sticking with it as I had my little hiatus as I was doing all my building around Primal Air. It's we have shelves up now, so that's a really good big plus. And and we're seeing more and more clients. I'm finished now subbing at the dental office, so I don't have that distraction any further, and I can get back to things like podcasting, which I've always found to be very enjoyable and super, super exciting and fun to deliver messages all over the place and to bring different people to different realizations across healthcare. And today I have Dr. Mary Burke. She is the CEO of Myo Australia, the company who produced the Myo Munchie appliances. If you're not familiar with Myo Munchie, I'll spell it for you in a minute. Mary is also a chiropractor who's been in practice for 28 years. She's a certified SOT craniopath and has done many hours of training in orofacial myofunctional therapy. Mary is passionate about optimizing the facial growth and development potential of children, particularly under the ages of 5 years old. Welcome, Mary.
Great to be here with you, Shirley.
Thank you so much for taking time out. So I'm in the middle of the night right now. I'm already in my pajama time, but you're in the middle of your work day. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes out.
It's always good to take time for to talk all things Myo Munchie and chewing. Yeah.
So Myo Munchie is, I'm going to spell it MyoMunchie. So it's MyoMunchie.com is the website, right?
Yep.
So what is it?
It's a chewable silicon appliance, basically, that assists with stimulating the muscles of the jaw, face and throat for tone and function. So we're in a situation these days where we're losing a lot of our form and function overall. And I see this a lot in my chiropractic patients. The sedentary lifestyle catches up with us, and the sedentary facial lifestyle is catching up with us too. So what the Munchie does is it helps us, if we chew it for 5 or 10 minutes a day, it helps to tone up the facial area. And what we find with the younger children is that it actually helps to stimulate the bony growth in a better form than it has been for the last, what we're seeing this generation or two is happening a lot under development of the jaws.
We are going to take a look at what a Myo Munchie looks like, because it's not something that we usually talk about in dental hygiene circles or in parent circles. So it's like a mouth guard, right?
Looks like a mouth guard. It's got these little tiny prongs, lots of little prongs, and they come out in the inside, and you can see it's quite flexible. So what those little prongs do is they massage the gums and teeth. And I'll tell you the story of how my father, who was the inventor, came up with the idea, because I think it gives us a little bit of a context for it. He developed it for adults for periodontal disease, because he could see a lot of his patients had gum disease and very poor oral health. And they could see, he could see the strong correlation between overall health and well-being and the oral health. So he invented, it was a bigger version than this. It was a red rubber one. I remember chewing it when I was a kid. and what he found was it was profoundly helpful for massaging the gums and the action of chewing. And within a two-week period, he was seeing people who had terrible chronic periodontal issues getting change. And he started to take different samples of gum tissue and was seeing that histologically they were getting amazing change.
Okay.
That was where it sort of first started around that, and that was way back 50 years ago. 1966 was the very first patent that was ever done on the Munchie. And then he became very interested in it from a children's perspective, and originally from a cleaning the children's teeth perspective. And so they developed one with a little handle on it, and I'll show you the one with a little handle, and they call it the chewing brush. And the idea of the chewing brush is that the child chews it, and those little prongs massage the gums and teeth and actually clean the teeth. And what they found was, yeah, it does clean the teeth really well. Because interestingly enough, toothbrushes haven't been around for thousands of years, have they? Chewing sticks were the thing. So, yeah. So while you're chewing, the other big advantage of the chewing of the munchie is it produces a huge amount of saliva, and saliva is nature's way. It's the cleaning fluid for the mouth. So it's really, really good for oral hygiene for children as well. Now, interestingly, when they were doing that study of looking at that, they were also looking at lip tone. So each child who was chewing for 10, 20 minutes a day, they were checking the tone of the lips, and what they found was every child who chewed it improved their lip tone and function. So that was a nice little bonus, that you chew it, you clean your teeth, and you improve your facial tone. And what they found was the people who had what we call malocclusions, so where there's an issue with the way the teeth are connecting, they had were much more likely to have weaker tone and function around the face. And those children improved dramatically. So things like 150 grams of pressure is what they could hold in the first assessment. 4 weeks later, 600 grams of tone they could cope with pressure.
And so that great just from the chewing, because they didn't exercise the lips with that handle. They didn't like play tug of war or anything. Just from chewing, they increase their... And so what does that do? So what if they have more tone in their lips? What does that help?
Well, it helps with forming the environment that will create an ideal... the ideal environment for the teeth. Form. The lips are what hold it in, aren't they? Their lips are what create the forces in combination with the tongue pushing from inside. So a lot of those kids who have those malocclusions, the tongue isn't doing what it should. It's often thrusting forward, isn't it? Those children who have early signs of malocclusion, and they've got that incorrect swallow pattern. So with the children who had the lip tone improved, they then don't thrust the tongue through, and they're much more likely to use the correct swallow pattern, as well as the nose for breathing. And when we use the nose for breathing, we get the nose up through the air passages, which provides a force down on the maxillary sinus, which works in combination with the tongue posture. So nature's pretty clever when it all works right.
Right.
Yeah, you get the outcomes that are ideal, don't we? So this little tool is a way of helping those kids whose facial development has started to go off track. And they might be mouth breathing. They might have a tongue thrust. I mean, a classic combination is a child who is on a pacifier, might have been using a bottle, maybe breastfed for a short period of time, but it's gone onto a bottle and using a pacifier. They're going to be much weaker around this area. Mm-hmm. So it's much more likely they're going to mouth breathe at night. We often see that with kids. They might nose breathe through the day, but often they're mouth breathing at night. And that's a lot of time because of that poor tone of the lips to stay together. So that's why the munchie can be such a useful thing with the lip tone improving. And what they also found in that study that was done back then, my father, who was watching with great interest, oh, this is really interesting, these results we're seeing with my little munchies. He started to see the bites started to change as well. And he thought, wow, now that's really interesting. Because the impact of chewing was starting to... And because what will happen is with the munchie, it puts you into an ideal class one occlusion, into the correct position for the clinical jaws. And so that action of chewing in that position was starting to stimulate the correct growth. So the munchie doesn't fix. All it does is it's trying to allow the body to express itself in its best form. Yeah.
So I had a patient last week who was... an immigrant, and she was Russian, and her family was here. She had smallish children, and she was commenting to me on the amount of children who are thumb sucking in the United States and using pacifiers as to compared to what she was used to seeing. So what's the pacifier and thumb situation down in Australia where you're at?
It's certainly becoming a very notable phenomenon. I am looking at it a lot because I think it's a contributing factor for what's happening epigenetically for our children's faces. But certainly pacifier use has become super common, and it's become now more normal than not. More normal that a baby will have a pacifier than it won't. We call them dummies here.
Yeah.
And... And also very normal for a child to be walking on the street at 2.5, 3 years of age with it in their mouth.
Right.
And I find that, or they're sitting in the pram, they're quite happy, they're looking around, but they've got this pacifier in. It's become this habit that's quite normal. And it is, I think, quite different. So it's interesting that someone from a different cultural environment is noticing that, because I'm definitely looking at it. I saw one the other day on the plane. I was on a little, it would have been about a 1-year-old, very well behaved on the plane, no problems. And the mum got up and strapped the baby on in the carrier. Little baby was very happy looking around. And then she pulled the dummy with what was attached and popped it in.
Oh.
Now the child wasn't at all upset. There was nothing going on, nothing. And I thought, right, that's kind of where we're at. It's you put them on and you put the dummy in. It's a little bit like Maggie Simpson, you know, plug it in. Prevent them getting upset.
Let's do it in advance. Oh, that's so sad. I had one of our five children was a thumb sucker, just one. And I could not get him to use a pacifier. I put a sock on his hand the day I brought him home from the hospital, but he absolutely would not have that thumb. He pitched a little infant fit, and he would not settle down until that thumb was available. So yeah. What was happening there?
Well, interestingly, from a cranial perspective, they talk about the thumb being a way for the child to stimulate cranial motion when there is some cranial jamming or the dural system isn't as free as it should be. That's a way, if you drive into that, you can drive that spheno-occipital part of the brain, part of the skull, which really allows better pumping mechanisms. So sometimes that can be what they're trying to achieve with the thumb sucking early on, that they need that sensation. The other thing that I think is really interesting is the tongue dysfunction, when there's a tongue tie and some restriction in the tongue function and they can't get the tongue up there, because that's what we're finding is what the children, if they can stimulate into that spot themselves with their tongue, they will get that self-soothing and that cranial balancing and releasing themselves. But we often have these kids now that can't get the tongue to that spot. That's what, and so that's an interesting one with your son. Have you found that over time you're discovering now that, oh, this has got different things going on?
He's the reason I started a myofunctional therapy practice. He's the number one reason. And then all the rest of the four of them were also all piled in up under there. But he was, you know, he had this thumb thing. He couldn't get rid of it. It took us until he was about, it must have been like six or so, because he still had mostly baby teeth. And we figured out a way to help him get rid of that thumb habit. But all we did was get rid of the thumb habit. None of the rest of the stuff was dealt with. His teeth came in back straight. Okay, done. Next, you know. And that's what I'm realizing now. That we do have tools to get to that first point, and that's true prevention, because it would prevent a whole host of problems that come afterwards. We didn't deal with the airway problem that he was having. He had headaches all the time. Kids don't have headaches. You know, that was my thing. Yeah. He's just full of it. Yeah. Whatever. Go take a nap. Yeah. You know, I had other children to worry about. I was, going to work and all this stuff. And it never ever really resolved. And we don't really recognize it until we really kind of look backwards a little bit and look at the tools that we have, like the Myo Munchie now would have been maybe a tool to use when he was 2 or 3.
Yeah, because the great thing about it is that for some children like your son, if they can't break the habit, at least the Munchie can help drive the system in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and it helps. And then eventually, as the system starts to create its own balance, they can, are more likely to be able to come off it. But it's a great way to shift from the pacifier, which you can remove, which is different
to the right.
But it's an interesting thing, because a parent, I think, part of it's the child's attachment to it, but part of it's the parent's attachment to it as well. We do get very reliant on these tools that we used, and we think that's the only way they're going to get to sleep, or the only way we're going to be able to calm them in a certain situation. When they are young, they need to suck in that first, well, that first number of first months of life. That's how they receive their nutrition, and that's super important for developing all of that facial area, the suck, swallow, breathe. That's the mechanism that it's all about. But from the age of about 3 or 4 months, the chew reflexes really start to kick in. And what happens is, and that should start to just activate there naturally. They'll put things in their mouth and they want to activate those chew reflexes. We should then be bringing foods in that first year of life that are stimulating some of that chew response. And instead, what has tended to be happening is the soft purees, and even those things now with the pouches where they suck them down. So it's really quite scary. They haven't even got to work out how to manage a spoon. It's become, yeah, really stuck on the suck side of things. And understanding that a child's neurology, its facial development so much is dependent on bringing in the chew reflex and really activating it and stimulating. So what I sort of talk about with the munchie, if a child's still using a pacifier at 2, they shouldn't be sucking at that point. They should be 2. So this is, and often a child is rational enough at 2 to be able to communicate with, and you go, okay, you're a big girl now. They're for babies. This is your big girl. And that empowers the parent. They've got something to give them.
Yes. They're not taking
the pacifier away or the dummy. The munchie isn't going to replace it because they can't suck it. But right, they can stimulate other pathways, and they can feel like they're a big grown-up, and it's something they can give them to put in their hand if they feel like, especially thumb suckers as well, it's something they can actively have. They can try to, you know, help them as well. But I think it's also helpful for the parent to have a little tool. Here's something we can replace.
I agree with that too. My brother was a pacifier user until he was way too old, because my mother didn't want to have an argument with him. And then we ended up all being part of her lie. It turns out that she ended up having to lie, which is maybe one of the first lies that you have to tell a kid. We lost it. We tore the house apart looking for that stupid thing that she had thrown away. You know?
Right.
So.
Right. Oh boy. Yeah.
So it makes it's another tool to use to achieve a proper end. You can swap it out. You can have a different conversation with the child. The family doesn't have to live through all the trauma either. The kid has something to still put in his mouth and work.
Yeah.
And it's going to help work the face.
And the other great thing is too, often you get the whole family chewing. Yeah, the older siblings are doing it, so the little one's excited about doing it with the older siblings. It's a great, and they will start at even a younger age when they can see the older ones modelling it. I've got parents who do it with their kids. It's quite, it's one of those things that I think, great, it can take a lot of the pain out of it. You can all just do it for a couple of minutes a day. We're doing our chewing and our munching, putting our munchie in, and we're all chewing. And the little ones will get right on board with that. And their compliance is much better because it's part of their normal, it's what we do.
So how long do they have to use it for then? Is this a lifelong thing and you just go up through the sizes, or do they just give up on their own usually?
Well, so it depends. If you're trying to correct a malocclusion or some aberrant myofunctional things that are going on, then you use it for periods of time of 6 months. You'll get in and you'll give it a go, and you'll use it in conjunction with other bits and pieces. And then you might just use it 3 or 4 times a week. You might just chew a couple of minutes in the shower. So that's what I sort of do with it in my life as an adult. I started off chewing one of those when I was about 8. My dad, I was probably one of the very first users of that years ago. And yeah, probably about 8.
Part daughter, part guinea pig, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We had 6 kids and 18 grandkids, so he used a lot of his own. It's one of those things I pick up at different times and chew for periods of time.
So even now?
Yeah, even now.
Wow.
Because like exercise, I don't sit a huge amount of time because I'm a chiropractor. I'm often up on my feet. But I know how much better I am when I exercise and move, when I just move. And even nutritious food often doesn't come with a chew factor that's very high.
Yeah.
So I have a good diet and I have lots of good food, but sometimes I just don't get enough chew in my day. So I like to get a couple of minutes of chewing, movement, exercise, stimulation, which, and my dad, who was 91, used his Myo his whole life, really the last 50 years, ever since he discovered it. And there he was at 91 with teeth still firmly rooted into the bone. He loved to show that, and he'd grown spaces in his teeth. So instead of it all caving in, and he had a great voice and tone, and he loved to show that because he really felt that having the munchie as part of his life had made a big impact with that. And I think it was probably pretty true, as it does. There's a lot of really interesting studies around dementia and lack of chewing. Once you lose your teeth and you can't chew, it's quite a big deal. The chew reflexes into the brain. There's a lot of information. The lower third of the face has, I think, a third of the amount of body information going to the brain. So that
right.
lower, a lot of really important information.
Yeah, it's crazy how much of our nervous resources are just geared right in through here. It's almost the same as your hands. I think it's a little yes. more even. Yeah. So it's important, and it's interesting to know that he used it all the way till the very end. One of my early passion projects was to raise awareness about the oral condition in long-term care facilities where no one is caring for these people's teeth. And this kind of an appliance sounds like it could be a real good adjunct for the patients, for the residents there. We're supposed to call them residents, not patients.
Yes. Yeah, well, and I think the great advantage is it cleans the teeth.
Right.
But it just stimulates good salivary flow. Now, that can become an issue in the elderly too, that dry mouth. And
right.
that it's really good for the digestive system too. So there's lots of good things going for that in that environment. Absolutely. I think it's a great adjunct. And that's definitely one of the fields we're looking into. Lots of people are showing interest in different areas. And it's something I'm super interested in trying to get some research on. We're just in the process of getting research at the moment in myofunctional therapy for under sixes and also early intervention orthopedic work for jaw expansion. So it's we're getting some, hopefully some research for the next year or two that should really show a lot of that change that we can get from chewing, and particularly from emotion.
Well, it sounds awesome, but how easy is it to get up here?
Well, we do have an office in the US now.
What?
Very exciting. So we haven't yet got our US website, but you can order through us in Australia and it gets sent from the US. So that's very exciting. You'll get it there 2 days later. So as opposed to the long haul shipping required from Australia.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of getting it, our US website set up. So it'll be myomunchie.com, but so if you go in there and you can order from anywhere in the world. But at the moment we do have our US website, a US distributor set up who have all our stock. And so you can get one.
That's awesome. Yeah, because it did take a few minutes to get here.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's just so many things I want to say right now. The orthodontist who refers to me, I don't feel comfortable using an appliance like that because he's already doing stuff. So so I have to kind of pick and choose who would be a good candidate for it. But, you know, when I talk to you, I feel like I should just have a Myo Munchie room and then just start passing them out. Because it solves so many problems, problems, right?
It's a very broad, it's one of those things, but it does have huge benefits for lots of different reasons.
So I'm also curious to know about Sjogren's syndrome patients and how dry their mouth is and how they have no saliva. And I was just made aware of a petition that's going on right now collecting signatures to ask these manufacturers of really low pH salivary stimulants to just retract them from the market. They're so damaging. And something like this might be an answer for those people.
Yeah.
Even just temporarily, if they were to chew on that for, I don't know, 15 minutes or 10 minutes, would that give them enough saliva, I wonder, to finish a meal?
Yeah, even less time than that. That's the, when you put it in, it produces a whole lot of salivary response. Those little prongs really stimulate. So in a couple of minutes of chewing, absolutely, it will get a lot of saliva flowing and, be really helpful tool for those people, definitely. And some of the research there's some work that my father did, because that was his original passion, was about the salivary flow and function.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he really looked into that quite a lot. And the parotid saliva was the most beneficial pH. It was antibacterial, and the flow rate was 30 times what it would be. Like, very, very, very impressive information on that. I can forward that to you, because I think... he describes it really well, the impact of the chewing before periods of time and what happens as far as stimulating the growth of the parotid glands to their function.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So it just kind of reminds me of a study that was done in the early 2000s with a power toothbrush, how using it on the tongue and on the palate and on the cheeks stimulated saliva. I don't know, do they have to do it for 2 weeks or something like that? And then they started to see more and more saliva. So this would be a low-tech version of that. And then, come on, Shirley. Okay, it would be a low-tech version of that. Oh, can they get it on their own?
Yes.
Because that's the other thing,
It's a product that doesn't, it's a very generic product with sizing. So... these come in small, medium, large. Okay. So then we have the little ones with the handles, which are the minis, and they're underneath under fives. But with the small, medium, large, small is up to the age of 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to the medium, which basically goes across the board. Women use the medium, and then the large is kind of for your larger men and teenagers and things, larger structure. So they're very generic in sizing. So anyone can buy one and just use it. People can get better benefits and results if they work with a practitioner. And that's in my preference that, and I often advise people when they'll ask questions to me, okay, let's see who's in your area that you can work with, because you will get a better result working with someone. But for people who aren't near anybody and aren't going to work with a practitioner or can't, it's a great little tool that will have some benefits.
So we talked about chewing with it for a few minutes. Do you also recommend wearing it to bed, or is this a little chewing thing during the day?
It's something that can be worn at night, but I would only advise that with supervision, because it can move teeth. And so I would always want that to be advised with someone overseeing that from a dental perspective. To make sure, or only use it for short periods of time. So you can use it for short periods of time, and certainly with children it will assist with arch expansion and lip tone and nose breathing, all those things we're looking for at night, and it's a great way to reinforce all of that. But certainly for adults who've had orthodontic work and different things like that, I wouldn't necessarily advise it. Short periods of time, up to 6 months, fine, but over that, if you continue it, it can start to shift and create change. It does. Some people want arch expansion, that's good, and shift in bony position. But do it with some guidance is all I'd recommend.
Awesome. Well, I think we got all the information in there in our little half hour here. Is there anything else that you wanted to say, Dr. Burke, that people need to know or should understand before they enter into this from a clinician's perspective, or for even a patient that's just looking for it online?
Just if you go and look at it online, read through the website, there's some good information in there We are producing a new website, which will be much more geared to practitioners. So at the moment, it's all one website, and it's a little bit bits and pieces because we kind of originally targeted it at the general public, but now we're sort of, we'd rather people actually work with practitioners is the reality. So the thing to know about is chewing. We all need to chew more. That's my big take-home message to you all. Look at the chew factor in your food. Don't just eat soft bread sandwiches, pasta and soup, because like everything else, if you don't use it, you lose it. And you need to keep your tone and function in your jaw and face, because we need to breathe, suck, swallow. We need to keep doing that our whole lives to keep functioning.
I'm with you. High five. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I hope that everybody gets to take a few minutes and look over your website and see if this is for them or if this is for their patients, because I think it has a lot of utility for just about everybody.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks, Shirley, for having me.
You're very welcome. It was enjoyable. I hope we can do it again soon. Bye now.
Bye.
If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review.